The question was asked, why did Moshe Rabbeinu separate from his wife when he was going to receive prophetic vision? So in order to understand this concept, we need to understand another concept, which we will not actually go into unless you bring up that question again later. And that is the concept of tum'ah, spiritual defilement. There is a concept that aside from what we see with the naked eye, physically, there are also levels of purity or impurity, which the Torah identifies for us. The Torah tells us when a person dies, so then there's a defilement. Anyone who touches him, anyone who's in the tent with him, anyone who comes in contact with someone who was in contact with the deceased. So there are levels of tumah, levels of defilement. The Torah tells us there are eight type of creepy, crawly creatures, which when they die, they defile. The Torah says that there are certain fowl that when they die, if you touch them, they won't defile you. If you eat them, then when you swallow them, you become tamei. The Torah says when a woman gives birth, so then the woman is tamei for 7 days with a boy, 14 days with a girl. Torah says when a woman has her onset, the woman is tamei from the minute a woman has her onset until she comes clean and goes to mikvah. Men, once they have an emission, when a man emits his seed, so then he becomes tamei. When a man has an emission that's not his seed, there's some other type of emission, which seems to be some type of illness, sounds like gonorrhea, where a man doesn't have control and he has this yellowish fluid that comes out of him. That's also a type of tumah. So we have many types of tumah, spiritual defilement. We have the deceased person. We have the seven creepy crawly creatures, the eight creepy crawly creatures that die. We have a person who touches the dead person. We have a person who has tsaras, that white blotch like leprosy. He's also tamei. We have a woman who gave birth. We have a woman who has her onset. We have a man who has an emission and a man who emits his seed. So these are different levels of tumah, different levels of defilement. With every one of these, a person would have to go to mikvah. And with some of them, it's not enough to go to mikvah. One would also need the sprinkling of the red heifer. Some of them, it's not enough a mikvah. You need a stream. So we have three levels of purity. There's mikvah, and then there's a stream, and then there's the waters of the red cow, the red heifer, that the Torah says they also purify. So either way, the spiritual defilement is something which we today don't understand. For example, any metal object that was in a room with a deceased, with a corpse, that metal object is defiled like the corpse. Not only a sword, even a pen or a watch. So we don't even pay attention to that. Kohanim aren't allowed to go into a room where there's a dead body. When you go to the Jewish hospitals, so very often there's a sign outside that says Kohanim should not enter now, because it means there's a corpse in the building. So they word it nicely. They say, we warn the Kohanim now. Sometimes a Kohen's wife is giving birth, and he waits outside. He isn't in there next to her, because there's a warning at that time that there's a body in the building. So they don't say there's a body in the building. They say there's a warning for Kohanim right now. So we don't have that many halachot that we keep today that are relevant to the laws of purity. We have family purity. When a woman has her onset, so then after her period ends, the couple are prohibited from touching or being intimate from the minute her onset begins until after her onset ends, and she has 7 days in which she was clean after the onset. Only then can she go to mikveh, and then the couple are permitted again. A kohen is not allowed to enter a room where there's a corpse, unless it's one of the five close relatives, father, mother, sister, brother, son, daughter, wife. Father, mother, sister, brother, son, daughter, wife. I said five, seven. Right, seven. So that's where we find it is relevant, these laws of purity. We don't go up to the Temple Mount because we are defiled. We're not pure. So another area where it's relevant, where we don't really see the application today, is in prophecy. In order for a person to attain prophecy, they have to be not only a good person, a kind person, a very observant person, they also have to be pure. They also have to be clean of any spiritual defilement. And so when you have an ordinary prophet, so then they spend time with their family, they spend time, they can go to a funeral, and then they spend time in seclusion, being holy, and they get prophecy during that time. When you have someone like Moshe, where Hashem tells him, I'm going to talk to you now all the time, so then Moshe can't allow himself to become defiled. And so when Hashem tells him, don't go back to your tent, he says, Hashem says, I've given the Torah, tell the Jews to go back to their tents, and you stay with me. From that sentence, tell them to go back to their tents, was a euphemism for go back to being with their wives. But you stay with me, Hashem was saying, you and I are going to talk. And being that we're going to talk, you have to be prepared for prophecy continuously. The Medrash says, and it's quoted in Maimonides, that there are a number of points where Moshe differed from any other prophet. This is one of those points. Other prophets got prophecy once in a lifetime, twice in a lifetime. As many as they received, it wasn't an ongoing thing. Maimonides says an allegory. He says it's like a guy walking in the woods, and it's dark, it's night. And suddenly in the middle of his walk, he's looking for the direction to go, there's a flash of lightning. So one flash gives him a certain amount of light, and he can try to advance. Then you have a person who has two flashes of lightning, and a person who has three. But then you have a person where the lightning is so continuous, it's like there's daylight out there. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Other prophets would get a flash here, a flash there. In a lifetime, they'd get either one prophecy. You have the prophet Habakkuk, he had three prophecies. The prophet Jonah had, it seems, three prophecies. That's okay. That's a tremendous human being. That's a prophet. Moshe, all the time. And that's why Moshe did what no one else did. He had to separate from his wife. Once in the history of the world, there was a human being who was so connected to the Ribbon Shalom, he had to separate from his wife. But that's the general rule is you want to connect to the Ribbon Shalom, you have to live a holy life within planet Earth, including with your wife. Yes?
What was the nature of prophecy when it was happening? How did they know that what they had was prophecy? How did we know what they said was prophecy, that it was actually prophecy? And how